This is the Hoove It or Lose It podcast, hosted by Pastor Andy Hoover.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today.
I came across some New Year's resolutions that I thought were pretty good that I know I identified with, and perhaps you will as well. So here they are in no particular order. New Year's resolution, the first one, I will no longer stay in my pajamas all day surfing the internet in my living room. Instead, I will move my computer into the bedroom. Number two, I resolve to work with neglected children. My own. Number three, I will think of a password other than the word password. Number four, I will start washing my hands after I use the restroom. Good policy for everybody. Number five, I will go back to school to avoid paying off my student loans. Number six, I will spend less than $1,825 for coffee at Starbucks this year. Number seven, I will switch my username to password and my password to username to make each harder for hackers to figure out. Which I thought that was a good one. I will watch less TV in standard definition. Next one, I will find a more accurate scale. I think that's certainly appropriate for me. Next one, I will build my biceps by increasing my reps of ding-dong curls to three sets of 15. And the last New Year's resolution that I thought was good for everyone, I will stop buttering my donuts. So perhaps those are familiar to you. I know some of them were familiar to me. But as we're rolling into the new year, I began to think about really this whole process and what we go through. And I was struck by a particular passage of Scripture that I think we often overlook as having really anything to do with planning or anything to do with goal setting. And I want to share that with you. It's found in the book of John, chapter 11. It's the story we find here, the account in Scripture that records for us the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Lazarus. And here Lazarus is. He's on his deathbed. He and his sisters, Martha and Mary, were friends of Jesus, that they had seen Jesus do it before, right? You know, they had seen him heal all sorts of people and maladies and perform all sorts of wonders. And so the Scripture says that they sent for him, and Jesus gets the message but decided for whatever reason to wait a few extra days before beginning the journey. And so fast forward, when Jesus finally arrives in Bethany where Lazarus is, they discover that Lazarus has already died and he's already been buried in the tomb for several days. Scripture says that Martha, upon hearing that Jesus was indeed coming, ran to meet him and told him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." So Jesus' response to her was, "Your brother will rise again." But that didn't comfort Martha. Yes, she said, when everyone else rises on Resurrection Day. And Jesus' next statement here is key to what I really want to focus on here in the next few minutes. In Jesus' next words, he utters the basis for all of history's hope and all of history's direction. He says this. He says, "Martha, oh Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." I mean, what a claim. I mean, Jesus claimed to be in charge of life. He claimed to be in charge of death and everything in between. It's a phenomenal claim that Jesus makes. In the mid-60s, we're all familiar with the boxer Muhammad Ali, who was then Cassius Clay, and he kind of taunted around and sauntered around, boldly proclaiming that he was the best boxer to ever step on the planet. And so opponent after opponent, right, get into the ring, and they just get blasted by Ali, right? And people everywhere were in amazement that he was able to do such a feat. And not only did he flatten his opponents, this is what was really interesting as I've read about Ali, but he did it in such a charismatic way that he often came across as really, really prideful and really arrogant. And in an interview, when he was questioned about this boastful or this prideful attitude, he poses this really deep philosophical truth. He says this: "It ain't bragging if you got the goods." And I think that's just such an awesome statement, because in the same way it can be paralleled to Jesus, because with Jesus' statement, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He wasn't bragging because he had the goods. And so they take Jesus to where Lazarus was entombed in the grave. And when he arrives at the tomb, the Scripture says that he spoke an audible prayer to the Father. And it's recorded in verses 41 and 42. And Jesus prays this. He says, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all the people that are standing here so they will believe that you sent me. The scripture then goes on and says that Jesus called out, Lazarus, come out. And there in front of the onlookers, some who supported him right and some who didn't and some who were just, you know, really weren't sure what to think, something happened that wasn't supposed to happen. A resurrection took place and out walked Lazarus in the very grave clothes that they had buried him in just 4 days earlier. Well, that's the account that's recorded for us in John chapter 11. And why I think that particular account has so much to do with us as we make New Year's plans and resolutions is because just like Lazarus, guys, you and I often become buried. We may not be buried physically, but often we become buried spiritually. And from the beginning, the scripture says that we're all caught, right, in the grave of sin. The Bible states it clearly in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned, right, and all fall short of the glory of God. John chapter 8, verse 34, I assure you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that once we were dead because of our many sins. So sin, right, is just this, it's this trap, and so quickly we find ourselves completely buried and entombed in the sin that we thought for sure was no big deal. And we thought for sure that it was just something small. And we may have been dealing with this same sin at the same time last year. And last year we made some sort of New Year's resolution, right? Or some sort of goal about getting rid of this sin in our lives and turning over a new leaf. And yet, here we are a whole year later, still dealing with the same issue. And chances are, we're buried deeper now than we were at the same time last year. And it's because of the fact that we're so buried in sin that Christ did what he did for us. Guys, listen, sin is that serious. Our freedom comes with a heavy price. I'm a big fan of all things historical, right? You know, I just love reading about the Civil War and the Revolutionary War and just understanding really all of the circumstances and events that have formed our nation into what it is today. And I came across these numbers a while back. These are probably familiar to you, but allow me to share them with you again. Of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured and tortured by the British as traitors. 9 others died in battle. 12 of them had their homes burned to the ground. 2 of them lost their sons in battle. 2 others had their sons captured in battle. You know, as I read those facts and I read those statistics, I realize that our political freedom from the tyranny that we were under came at a heavy price. They say that over 25,000 people died in the Revolutionary War. There were another 620,000 to somewhere around 850,000, the numbers debatable, that died in the Civil War fighting for the freedom of all Americans. I mean, if you think about those numbers, those are staggering numbers. If you were to tally all of the American lives lost in all of the wars involving the U.S. from the Revolutionary War forward, the total number of lives lost is somewhere around 1.4 million. That is a heavy, heavy price to pay for our freedom. And listen, because you and I can so easily become buried in our sin, God stepped onto the scene and he says, hey, I'll pay the price with my only son's life. Jesus steps onto the scene and he says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, listen, you may be buried in your sin up to your eyeballs, but I can fix that. You may feel trapped in a cycle of sin, but I can help you break out of that. You may feel like you're in the worst place now than you were last year, but I can change that, Jesus says. See, I don't think it's a mistake that God gives us this account of Lazarus in the Bible. I think it's very purposeful because it reminds us that even if a situation looks hopeless, it's not. Even though Lazarus was already buried, it wasn't over. Even though everyone else had given up hope, it wasn't hopeless. And I think that's the message that God is sending to you and I through this passage. It's not over for you. It's not hopeless for you. The scripture says that Jesus stood at the entrance of the tomb and he called out, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. See, in a very real sense, I believe this. I believe that God is standing in our midst. Jesus Christ is standing in our midst, and he's saying to us, he's calling each one of us out. He's calling us out. And sometimes we sit back and we listen or we hear things and when we're into God's word and we think, he's not calling me out. He couldn't be. I'm so buried in sin that, you know, he probably doesn't even think about me anymore. And I'm so disconnected from my relationship with Christ that I'm not even on his radar. Listen, it says in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, Jesus says, "I, the Son of Man, feast and drink, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of the worst sort of sinners." And I want to submit to you today that, yes, that is exactly it. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Sinners like you and sinners like me. And because he's our friend, he chooses to not leave us buried in our sin. Instead, he calls us out. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends." In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." You know, we're right in the middle of this season where people all over the place are taking presents back to stores, right? I mean, that's what we do. We're exchanging, you know, something that didn't fit or we didn't like or was the wrong color or the wrong model. We exchange things because for all of these reasons, too big, too small, wrong color, or just maybe because it's ugly. But sometimes it can be a real hassle to exchange things, right? You know, you got to have the receipt. You got to be within a certain time period. You have to exchange it at the same location. You can only exchange it for something identical, which, by the way, we no longer sell. You know, right? There's all sorts of rules, right, and regulations on exchanging these gifts. But I love what Jesus is pitching here in the book of Matthew because he says, "I want your exchanges." There's no exceptions. There's no expiration dates. There's nothing that will prevent me, Jesus says, from exchanging your life of being buried in sin for the freedom that I want to give you. And Jesus is calling each one of us to exchange our weakness for his power, our darkness for his light, our problems for his solutions, our burdens for his freedom, our frustrations for his peace, our turmoil for his calm, our hopes for his promises, our questions for his answers, our confusion for his knowledge, our doubt for his assurance, our impossible for his possible, our fear for his love. Lazarus was buried and then called out. And I want to suggest to you today that you and I are called out as well. Scripture says that when Lazarus appeared at the entrance of the tomb, he was bound in grave clothes. And Jesus says this. Jesus says, "Unwrap him and let him go." You see, grave clothes were for people that were in the grave, and Lazarus was no longer in the grave, so he needed to have a wardrobe change. He needed a wardrobe change. Think about that word bound. I mean, the scripture says that he was bound in grave clothes. The word bound means this idea of restraining rules or laws or standards or to set limits to. I mean, one of Satan's greatest desires is to see God's people be bound, right? His greatest desire is to make God's people feel as though there are limits to what we can do for God. And there's limits to what God can do for us. Satan's greatest desire is to keep you and I, as Christ's followers, bound in our grave clothes. He wants to keep us convinced that where we are is where we're always going to be, right? He wants us to believe that what we've always struggled with is what we're always going to struggle with. Satan may be trying to keep you bound in your history of failed commitments to Christ in 2016. And if you have a history of failed commitments to Christ in 2016, let me suggest this to you, that you don't need a resolution to try harder in 2017. You need a resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Satan may be trying to keep you bound in your poor relationships with your family. He may be reminding you of all the difficulties and fights and arguments you had with them in 2016. Friends, if that's you, listen, you don't need a resolution to spend more quality time with them. You need a resurrection in that relationship. You may have felt estranged from your family in 2016, that you view the entire relationship as dead or at the very best, you know, in the process of decomposing. You need to allow God to step into that relationship and breathe life where life has ceased to exist. Satan may be trying to keep you bound in some sort of secret sin that you've been struggling with, right? For all of 2016, you don't need a resolution to have more willpower in 2017. You need a resurrection in your life that will bring back to life the Holy Spirit power that will see you through that moment of crisis as you say no to that sin and yes to Christ in your life. Satan may be keeping you bound in your poor marriage relationship of 2016. Satan's desire is that your marriage stay poor in the upcoming year. What you need isn't a resolution. You don't need a resolution to communicate more or spend more time alone. What you need is a resurrection and the life to breathe life into that dying relationship. Jesus said to John in John, he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." If there are areas of your life that are dead, or relationships in your life that are dead, Jesus Christ is the life giver. So as we start this new year, I believe that God is calling each one of us from the grave of sin. He's calling each one of us to himself, and he's asking that we make the exchange. He's asking that we exchange our bondage of 2016 for his freedom in 2017.
Thanks for listening to the Hoove It or Lose It podcast. For more information or resources, visit www.hooveitorloseit.com or on Facebook at Hoove It or Lose It.